Hello, everybody. We are on episode 7 of the Derg Poi podcast. Welcome, welcome. My name is Rugged, or Rugged the Dragon, as you may know me on Twitch as well as Twitter. So we are going into the 7th episode, which is all about misinformation and a bunch of other things, including riots. So this is going to be a very controversial topic. If you're on Spotify right now, you'll notice that the episode is explicit. And the main reason it's explicit isn't because of my language. There might be some, but the main reason also is because they're very sensitive topics. Now, these topics, I'm not going to hesitate with them, but the problem is that the sensitivity involves how, like, it's hard to discuss them. And especially with my opinions, because there's going to be quite a lot of eyebrow raising throughout during this whole thing. So I definitely tell everybody this. From, like, when you listen to this podcast, right, try not to get angry. If you disagree, respectfully explain your situation, and I may reply back to it. This could be on Twitter. This could be on Discord. I have all my links within the episode below. So please, if you feel like you need to talk about this, let me know, as long as you are civil, because oftentimes on social media, you'll find people cannot act in a civil manner, and it's definitely shows, because people can be extremely toxic. Because you're not facing somebody, you're not talking to somebody face to face, right? You're not going to treat them with the same respect in person than you are online, because that's just the commonality of the entire online social media structure. That's just how people act when you don't see them face to face, right? It's different to talk to them on cyberspace, but it's another thing to talk to them one-on-one. So without further ado, we will get into the first topic, which I'm very passionate about. So we're going to talk about accusations, right? So we've known accusations throughout social media, right? You hear it all the time, right? So accusations, according to the official definition, is to charge or claim that someone has done something illegal or wrong. It's not evidence. It's just saying, hey, I think this person did something bad. Now, an accusation should not ever be taken as truth, no matter how strongly you feel about it, because the main reason why an accusation is the way it is, because it's not proven, right? You have to go through a whole system for that, depending on how serious it is. If it's an accusation of somebody committing a crime, you need to investigate the situation. You need to cross-examine witnesses and any kind of evidence that can confirm their guilt, right? And this may sound controversial, but I am tired of having all of these reports of these celebrities and all that being reported for sexual misconduct, right? We saw this in 2018, 2017 with a Me Too movement, which it's a political movement, people. Me Too movement is just political. And they tried to abuse their power. And it did not work very well. I mean, yeah, you got a couple other people, but even then you have to wait, because there is this thing called appeals. Sometimes a person who is innocent completely of their crimes may not get the right sentence. Therefore, an appeal can be set to have them be released, right? Now, I don't know everything regarding all people. Like, for example, what's his name? Oh, yeah, the person's name was Harvey Weinstein. Now, he was convicted, I think, 2 charges out of the 5, and he's set to have an appeal still. We don't know what that situation is going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen to it. He may still be in prison. We don't know. But the most important thing I tell people is this. When it comes to accusations, anybody that gets accused of sexual misconduct, rape, a bunch of other things, always wait. Don't jump the gun and say, hey, this person's totally guilty. We need to tell everybody that they're guilty and that leave it at that. Without hearing anything regarding what evidence is there. No one asks these questions nowadays. What evidence is there to accuse this person of guilt? Like, what evidence is there? Do we find anything out, right? Did the court trial begin? Are they actually guilty of their crimes? And that's a problem. Because whenever you see people get accused, the whole point, really, isn't to just put a guilty man in prison, although that may sometimes be the case. I feel that most of the time, people will accuse another just for publicity.
to make a man's life or a woman's life a miserable hell. Absolutely. That's what I believe. And it works. You get a famous actor, right? That could be the best person in the world. Well, it depends, though. Keanu Reeves was accused. He denied it. Everyone obviously denied it, too. Because he's popular. Right? Same thing with Robert Downey Jr. He was accused, too. Morgan Freeman was accused. Morgan Freeman was accused. Think about that for a second. Now, accusations only work if somebody is not intensely popular. The three that I just mentioned, obviously everyone's going to forget about it and say, no, they didn't do it. But now, if you accuse somebody, let's say Kevin Spacey, everyone's going to believe it. Everyone did. And he got fired for it. The whole intent is when you accuse somebody, you get them fired. And it happens every time. My opinion is this. I believe if anybody gets accused, nothing should happen to them until a careful process within a court system can prove their guilt. Because oftentimes somebody will get accused and then they'll get fired from their job. And then the court will find them not guilty of anything, but their careers are dead. Like, I don't understand this. Why are we giving people so much power to accuse them and then get them fired and then find out, oh, they didn't do anything. So why'd you fire them in the first place? I'm confused about that. But like I said, personally, this is just my theory. If YouTube, by the way, if YouTube or Twitch or whatever thinks this is all misinformation, some of these are opinion, but some of the stuff I can back up. So believe me, I'm not trying to spread misinformation or anything. But my personal theory is that you have power to get somebody fired just because you don't agree with something they do. Or if you just feel like you have enough power to do whatever the hell you want, they're going to abuse it. So it's like, okay, who should we accuse today? Let's see. This actor, John Cena. Oh, we don't like him that much. Let's accuse him of getting with five women that were underage back in 1999 or 2005 or something like that. There we go. We get 20 people who are so-called witnesses to cry on camera and tell them what happened. Guess what? You just fired John Cena. He's dead. He's like, his career is dead, basically. And he could say he's innocent. Goes to a court. They find no evidence. All the accusers are just lying their asses off. But he's still ruined. Right? So anyway. So in my chat, like I said, I'll read my chat as well. Is this a party? Are you invited? Devil? I'm sorry about that. Bathy the Devil Wolf 97? I don't know if this is a party or not. It depends on how you're going to react to these conversations I'm about to have. So anyway. Let's get in to the meat and veggies of the accusations argument. So let's talk about three individuals, excuse me. So here's what I'm going to say right now. Michael Jackson, King of Pop, one of the biggest, if not the greatest pop star in history, right? He was a legend. He could walk outside and say, you know what? I'm going to make $100 million right off the bat. He could do that. He was that powerful. He was that popular. But also the largest target. So, around 1993, I believe. Now, I don't know if I'm fully correct on this. 93, 92, whatever year. A guy named Evan Chandler goes in and says, you know what? I'm going to accuse Michael Jackson of pedophilia. Because, essentially, the family wanted money for Michael Jackson. They were desperate. They were like, hey, Michael Jackson, can you, give us some money? And you know, and because you're rich and all that, and you could afford it. Well, he refuses, so they said, okay, well, then in that case, we're going to bring you to a civil court case over pedophilia. So, now, I know for a fact that Evan Chandler himself was out for Michael Jackson. Not for truth, not to put him away because he did something wrong. He just wanted him to be ruined, to win everything, and to basically make Michael Jackson so much of a hated target that he won't sell another record. You know how I know this? Because Evan Chandler was caught in a phone call that was recorded. You can find this on YouTube. He describes everything about it. Everything, everything, everything. And you know what? I will actually find it. Hold on. Let me see. Evan Chandler, phone call, Jackson. Let me see if you can hear this. Check this out.
This man is going to be humiliated beyond belief. He will not believe it. He will not believe what's going to happen. Beyond his worst nightmares, sell one more record.
This attorney I found, I mean, I interviewed several, and I picked the nastiest son of a bitch I could find. Once I make that phone call, this guy is just going to destroy everybody in sight. Any devious, nasty, cruel way that he can do it. And I've given him full authority to do that. It'll be a massacre if I don't get what I want.
If I go through with this, I win big time.
I will get everything I want, and they will be told, they will be destroyed forever. They will be destroyed. June is going to lose Jordy. She will have no right to ever see him again.
Yeah.
That's a fact, Dave. That's what's
going to happen.
Michael's career will be over.
Does that help Jordy?
Michael's career will be over.
And does that help Jordy?
That's irrelevant to me.
Evan Chandler, evil, evil man, only wanted one thing. Destroy Michael Jackson's career, get money out of him, use his son to lie in court. And guess what? They tried doing a civil suit first. And then, of course, Michael Jackson had to settle. He had to pay. See, in the civil case, it's not a criminal one. Settling is an option, which means that you could just say, you know what? We're not going to go through this civil case. I'm just going to pay money to get it over with. Done. And Michael Jackson had to, because in 93, around that time frame, he had to go on tour for his new album called Dangerous. So, now everyone thinks, well, he settled in 1993 for a couple million dollars, right? That's definitely guilt, right? He knows he's guilty. He wants to silence them, right? No. Settling in a civil case does not exonerate you criminally. All of the evidence for that criminal trial had already been gathered at that point, so they had to save it until much later on. And now, in 2005, they had to go through the criminal trial. Now, this is the point where everyone was against Michael Jackson. They called him Wacko Jacko. God, he's a pedophile. He slept with kids. He slept with little boys in the bedroom. And he's a horrible person. And as the court trial was going on, you see the media constantly going, oh, this doesn't look good for the defense. The prosecution is definitely winning this case. No. The whole point of this whole entire thing based on the media wasn't telling you the truth. The media is just there to give entertainment. So, yeah, all the evidence in Michael Jackson's case had been gathered and they were going through cross-examinations. Now, here's the crazy thing. A lot of the evidence that they had against Michael Jackson, one of them was a photo of Michael Jackson's genitalia. They said it was matching the description of what the kids saw. But then when the court came to be, they had to omit the evidence because it didn't match the genuine article because there was a mistake. A lot of evidence was omitted by the accusers. And then they actually cross-examined the accusers. Now, I'm not perfect in my memory about this, but all I know is that a legendary lawyer named Tom Ezzero, right, he was cross-examining all of these accusers. He says he's never seen so many people break down from the cross-examinations. He will never see it again. It was like a clown show. He goes, and the funny thing is that some of the accusers that said that Michael Jackson molested them were also the same people who came forward first and said that they were never touched. How the hell does that happen? So, 5 or 4 months, the trial went on. And Michael Jackson was exonerated of every charge. Exonerated. In record time, by the way. But the fact remained that despite his exoneration, the guy still suffered. People still believed he was a pedophile, that he was in the bedroom with children. Oh, but by the way, that whole idea of him sleeping in the same bed with boys, you know what that was from? That was from the prosecution. That was their side of the story, which was not true, obviously. Because in the courtroom, you have a reconstruction of events, and you have one side giving you one tale and the other giving their account. And you have to figure out which stories are more believable based on cross-examinations, right? It was insane how, like I said, people treated Michael Jackson so unfairly. There were so many media articles about how he was a pedophile. He had so many movie parodies of him trying to touch kids or steal them, you know. It was so terrible. This guy was innocent from day one, and no one believed him. No one wanted to wait until the evidence had been gathered and the actual verdict had been given. They were just jumping the gun because it was more entertaining to ruin someone's life, which it still happens today. People take joy in another's suffering, which is sad. It's quite sad indeed. We're not all perfect. Sometimes I do, but it depends on the situation. Like, if I play Call of Duty and I make someone miserable because I killed him 15 times in a row, you know, I might take joy when he trash talks, okay? You know, that's a common thing. But it's another to realize that you're ruining somebody's life by accusing him of something that he never did. And sadly, Michael Jackson passed away many years ago because of, like, medical reasons. Because his doctor, I think he goofed up on his medication and killed him. And the doctor was guilty, by the way. In the chat, do people still go to Neverland Ranch? Most likely. Most likely. It's a landmark. It's a landmark. It's a big place. It was like a different world. I remember the comedian Chris Tucker himself talked about how he was there, right? And he looked out the window and there's giraffes. No kidding. There's like a zoo out there. He had giraffes. How could a man afford these exotic animals? Right? Now, I can't believe, if you ever want to watch, I'm going to provide links in the video episode. There's a guy online named Razorfist, who, amazing YouTuber, by the way. Very political, but very, very, very convincing in his arguments and very articulate in his conversations and rants, right? He did a 3-part rebuttal on the Michael Jackson case, and I watched every single one of them. Sometimes, on random occasions, I'll just rewatch them again because they were that insanely detailed because he did a lot of research, right? Even voice clips and other sources to back up his claims. So, So yeah, at Neverland Ranch, I remember one accusation stating that Michael Jackson did something terrible on the train back in 92, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, wait. The train in that year was not built yet. That train was built later. And then the worst part about this, you can't stop him because I guess it's kind of a freedom of speech kind of thing. But later on, they made a documentary called Leaving Neverland, right? And that movie, oh my God, that movie had so much misinformation. I don't know why people aren't enforcing the Misinformation Act, right? I'll get to that later because YouTube is very much guilty of that. So I just, like, it's why. The whole, like, documentary is based on nothing because he was exonerated in court. And the other two accusers, the new ones, first of all, I can't remember his name. It's Jimmy Safechuck, and I forgot the other guy's name. Anyway, it's to the point where I don't care about their names because they're that irrelevant. Originally, they said that Michael Jackson never touched him. They said, under oath, that Michael Jackson never did anything to them. And then they just had a flashback of, wait, maybe he did something to me. Maybe we should make this movie to make money out of him. That's what happened. I didn't understand about the truth about Neverland Ranch. The only thing about Neverland Ranch was that it was a big place that only Michael Jackson could afford. That was it. It was a wonderful place. Just people thought it was a nasty place because they believed in the accusations against him. I remember the FBI had to raid his ranch a couple times, all right? And there was nothing found. Nothing incriminating found. Despite what other people say about it. They're like, oh, well, they definitely raided the ranch and they found some crazy stuff in there. And that basically makes him guilty, right? No. Misinformation. All right. So, yeah, like I said, watch the 3-part rebuttal. I will put it in the links of my episode on Spotify. Sorry if I'm speaking a little low. I just ate something real quick. I ate something a long while ago. I ate some burgers, and I'm kind of a little gassy, but I'm fine. Anywho, so here is another person I want to talk about. This is going to raise some eyebrows. And the eyebrow raising is going to be so advanced, it's going to go to the back of people's heads. So, I will say this. Bill Cosby, innocent from day one. I will repeat that. Bill Cosby was innocent from day one. This is going to be very controversial because every time I talk about it, people get very pissed off. So let me explain. So Andrea Constand and Bill Cosby had a consensual relationship. As in, when they met, she agreed to what he wanted. And yes, he gave lewds to women. Party drugs. In the 70s. That was a common thing. Now, people thought when he gave lewds to Andrea Constand, she was unable to move and he had his way with her, even though she wanted him to stop. That's not true. He denied any kind of misconduct towards her. He denied it completely. And not only that, but Andrea Constand's story had so many inconsistencies with it. She would constantly change her years, right? Every single time that she was bringing forth her story, she was changing it up like George Lucas. She was always changing the details. So eventually, she was cross-examined. This is like multiple times. They finally found her not credible. Some other accuser was with her, unknown. Same story, following her story. Again, that other accuser was also not credible. Then came this other woman named Janice Dickinson. She was a former supermodel. I say formal because, I mean, look at her. Jesus God, you look at a picture of her now? Oh, God. She makes the Wicked Witch of the West look like freaking Katy Perry right now. Oh, God. So, Andrea Constand, she looks like Ripley from the Alien movie. Got put into a mental institution for a month. And she looks crazy. She looks insane. But anyway, back to Janice Dickinson. She wrote a book about the allegations against Cosby. This is where they came from. A book of her events detailing how Cosby raped her. And guess what happened? She admitted that the entire allegation was fabricated. I will repeat that. The allegation of rape by Andrea Constand was, in fact, a lie that she admitted. So, at this point, the prosecutors were not going to prosecute Bill Cosby because they already knew he was innocent. So here's what happens. They say to him, hey, we're not going to prosecute you, but in exchange, we want you to form a deposition, which is basically telling your side of the story. And he did. So he basically told people that he gave party drugs and lewds to women in the 70s, but he had never had any kind of illegal activity with them. Consensually met with women and made love to them like a normal guy, right? Consensually, got permission, everything. Now, people think that this deposition was the most vital piece of evidence against him. It wasn't, but people kept insisting that it was. So, after he made that deposition, it was sealed, meaning you cannot self-incriminate. Fifth Amendment, right? Say they sealed that document, it could not be used in court. So then, this new federal judge comes in, Judge Stephen O'Neill, corrupt federal judge. He got elected, and his sole purpose of being elected was to put Cosby in jail. So he goes in the courtroom. Now, like I said, my memory's not perfect. You can get more information about this in the links I provide within this podcast. Goes into the courtroom and says, hey, what do you got here, buddy? Well, we're not going to prosecute Bill Cosby, and he made a deposition and all that. We found the accusers were not credible. One of them admitted to lying. Judge is like, okay. Okay, all you lawyers here, I'm not going to find you credible, and I'm going to keep that court case active. I'm still going to go on with the court case, even though it shouldn't. And, one of you lawyers, I remember you. You went against me in the political race, and you beat me. I think you're a hostile witness. Get out of my courtroom. Oh, and, what about this deposition that he had that was sealed? Oh, we can't use it against him? Oh, that's fine. We'll just unseal it and then use it against him. What? Yeah, what? Everyone's like, what the hell's going on here? It's a bait and switch. As Tom Ezra described, bait and switch. Basically, you pull the rug underneath Bill Cosby's feet. And then the criminal case goes on. And now this is the part where people also believe that Bill Cosby was guilty. Ready for this? Well, what about the multiple accusers that came in? All those women. He's got to be guilty. You know who those women were? Unrelated witnesses. Let me repeat that again. Unrelated witnesses. Meaning they were not investigated. Their stories were not verified. Essentially, they were just brought in to give a sob story to convince the jury and everyone else that Bill Cosby was in fact guilty, even though he wasn't. But the worst part is, this tactic worked. 100% worked. Everybody that tells me that Bill Cosby is guilty will always mention the 60 accusers. It was probably less than that, but it was, they always say it. 60 accusers came forward. How can somebody be innocent when 60 people go forward? And I respond the same way. They were unrelated witnesses. It was a show trial. And it convinced the jury and everyone else that he was guilty. And then they wrongly convicted him. And when he was in prison that whole time, he told people, I'm not guilty. I am innocent. People advised him that, well, you can get this 3-year sentence in jail reduced. No, that was 3 years. It wasn't 3 years. It was less than, it was more than that. But 3 years was how many years he spent in jail, just about. They said they can reduce his sentence. You know how? Admit that you were guilty. Show the remorse of what you've done. And we will release you early. Bill Cosby refused because he knew he was innocent. Now, off topic a little bit. Cosby and Ghost Dad. I want to see that movie again. I keep thinking about it. I want to see Ghost Dad again. Okay, going on topic again. So, Tom Ezra, he was involved with the first case of Cosby, but he was not involved with the second. Knew what the hell was going on. He's like, this judge is going out of control. This whole trial, right? It's such a misrepresentation of what the justice system stands for. So he set up an appeal right away. And he says, quote, it was the most perfect appeal process ever. Well, not exact quote, but basically he described it like that. It took, the only problem was that it took too long to realize, to make the appeal official and reverse the conviction. Right? And everyone goes, oh, well, it was a technicality, that's the problem. No. Don't give me that technicality BS. The only technicality involved was the fact that the court case had not even been filed in time. So they told the judge about this. They said, hey, we have a legal defense. You can't proceed because this court case was not filed in time. So the judge is like, all right, I'll let the jurors know. Did he do it? No. He ignored it. Just so that the trial can proceed. It was an unfair trial from day one that got an innocent man in prison for nearly 3 years. An old man who was legally blind. Put in prison because of crying women who politicized the whole court case with the freaking hashtag MeToo movement. They put an innocent man in prison for attention. That's all. The problem is, every time you say that Bill Cosby was innocent, all these people, women, other women are like, he's guilty. He totally raped these women. And I'm like, no, he didn't. And I'll explain why, and I give him links. Well, here's the thing. If you believe Bill Cosby is guilty, then you're accepting rape culture, and I think you are also a rapist. And I'm like, at this point, I'm shrugging my shoulders going, what the hell are you talking about? That's how people try to get you to go on their side. They will intimidate you. They will threaten you by saying that you are the problem. That if you don't think he's a rapist, then you are a rapist. Doesn't make sense. But again, that's how toxic social media can be. I think that's absolutely insane. Man, I'm so passionate about this because I always practice this when I'm working, right? Sometimes when I'm working, I like to have my what I call head thoughts. where I basically talk to myself and I practice my vocal points on certain situations that I feel passionate about. And this was definitely one of them. But this is why I say, anytime anybody gets accused, here's my response. Where's your evidence? If so, can you bring that evidence to court? And then after that, wait for a verdict. After that verdict has been decided, we will decide on if that person that you accused should be fired or not. Until then, we can't do anything until the verdict comes out. That's the way it should be. Problem is, there's so much pressure for these companies to get rid of certain actors or actresses that get accused that they have to do it. I think that needs to be changed. No more. If I have an actor in my, if I'm making a show and I have a good actor playing my show and he's being accused, they're going to ask me, what are you going to do? I'm going to like, nothing. I'm going to let him do what he does. And I'm going to go through the legal process of finding out whether or not he is guilty. Because the chance of people being truthful about their accusations is very slim. I'm just going to say that right off the bat. If there is actual evidence of him doing something and it's tangible enough to put him in prison, then you say, okay, well, he's fired. Let's get someone else. Done. And it's easy. So one more person I need to talk about. I'm not going to exactly name him specifically. So in the furry community, you may not know him. Not going to say his name. I know I shouldn't be talking about him, but this is also a similar instance, right? So there is a person within the furry community, very popular, and now he's probably the most hated person on the internet right now because he was accused of basically zoophilia, like killing his dog and having in his way with him. Sounds disgusting, right? Now, I have investigated this so many times. I've watched so many videos about it. Not videos pertaining to his deeds. That's disgusting. Now, apparently, everyone believes this guy was guilty because there was a video of a similar-looking dog. Bear that in mind. Put a pin on that. Along with Telegram, leaked Telegram documents, and other website sources. Right? Now, here's the first thing I'm confused about. Why are we getting Telegram documents? You know how easily they're forged? Seriously, Telegram? Really? People? Really? So, the other thing was the video. Now, it seemed incriminating because there was a dog that looked like his. But, where's the face? Do we know the person is, in fact, who you're accusing? Because I'm pretty sure that's what every lawyer is going to ask you. This video seems disheartening. But is the person that you're accusing involved in this video? If so, is there any identifiable markings? Is there any face? Do we have anything like that that can definitely link him to it? The answer is no. And there is also other internet documentation or whatever saying, well, his account belongs to this, and we know this because of this and that. There's one thing I want to know. Where's the police documentation? Where's official documentation about this investigation? And most of all, if this person was guilty of said crimes, why isn't he in jail? All of this effort to say that this person is guilty, all this so-called overwhelming evidence that this person should be put away forever, but they're still not in prison. And then this person later on YouTube tells that all of their stuff was taken. An expert forensic team investigated him, went through his stuff. They found nothing. They didn't charge him with anything. So you're going to tell me that a professional investigative team, forensics included, went through so many lengths and years to find out if this person was guilty and found nothing. Yet the internet is somehow more proficient than them? What? And that's what I questioned. Don't ever try to say this on Twitter. Because everyone will attack you. Well, you don't believe the evidence? I'm like, I watched the evidence, and there's nothing tangible about it. If you want me to believe something, then please give me official documentation from the courtrooms, police records, everything. Then maybe I'll believe you.
Well, the evidence is there, and if you don't believe it, then I think you're into Sylvania too, and I can't believe you're defending a dog rapist, and you're also a dog rapist. You're completely dog. You know, that's it. I'm not talking to you. You're an evil person. And then they leave.
That's how conversations work on Twitter. That's how conversations effectively happen anywhere. Because people don't want the truth. It's all about entertainment. If there's a popular person being accused, it's more fun to them, more acceptable even by society, to make fun of that individual. Even if you don't know the situation, you get more popularity out of supporting the majority of the group. It's kind of like riding with the tide, right? You don't want to go against it, because then you're not going to get anywhere. It's so sad. Again, I'm not for those in the furry community, you probably might know what I'm talking about. But like I said, I won't mention his name, because unless they're, of course, like a very popular celebrity, and everyone knows about it. But when it comes to a certain individual, no, I won't. But like I said, it goes back to what I said earlier. Why would you accuse somebody of guilt when there's no proof? Internet evidence, so-called, that some one person gathered. What? Oh, well, I'm credible because this other person involved got arrested. Yeah, you know why they got arrested? Because an investigative team found things. Right? They were the ones who caught him. Not you. A professional investigative team found they were guilty. The other guy that I was mentioning? Not a shred of evidence against him. Now, it could change. We don't know. But as of now, the guy's innocent. Completely innocent still. Innocent until proven guilty. See, some people mix that around. Some people think, well, it's guilty until proven innocent. No. Sadly, that some countries still do that, but not in the U.S. Pretty much most of the world is innocent until proven guilty. But yeah, that's how I feel about the whole accusations. Accusations are essentially bullshit. Until you prove it. How often is it proven? Not often. And something needs to change, because there's too many people that can go to prison over nothing. That's why we need to refresh the whole investigative research part of the whole process, right? That's why I think the trials should be more fair. Maybe in the future, we'll find more ways to find out if people are lying. Maybe we could create an actual lasso of truth, tie it to every single person that's in the courtroom, so that they tell the truth and always the truth. Trials go by so fast that way, you know? So we're going to go on to the next part, right? Which is misinformation. Now, misinformation. This happens all the time. Now, I was just talking about that earlier, right? Accusations, part of misinformation. It's always common to spread it all over, right? That this person did this, you know, conspiracy theories. But yeah. So I'm going to talk about one person and specifically, and you're not going to like this at all. Let's talk about Donald Trump. Everyone knows Donald Trump. Former president of the United States from 2016-2020, impeached twice, right? Accused of racism, white supremacy, everything you could think of, people think is true. I'm going to tell you this, it's all mudslinging. Now here's the thing, disclaimer. I never voted for Donald Trump. I never voted for Hillary Clinton. I don't vote unless I feel strongly about somebody. I never voted for the guy. I don't support him either. I don't directly say, make America great again or anything. No. I don't wear the MAGA hat. I don't do anything like that. I'm just baffled by how often people mudsling him. Just mudslinging him. Okay, there's one incident I remember. So, in what was year was it? 2017? 2017, or I think around there. There was a riot in Charlottesville about the removal of the Robert E. Lee statue. Right, and people came down with tiki torches, right? White supremacists were there, claiming that they shouldn't remove the statue. So then, people criticized how slow Donald Trump was to react to this. I mean, the guy was forming a speech. You have to be careful what you say. But they were going, oh, he's taking too long to respond. He didn't respond in 2 minutes. 5 minutes. Come on, President Donald Trump. 10 minutes already. Come on, what are you going to do? So he finally makes a speech. And he goes on to say, now everyone thinks in this speech that he supported white supremacy. Why is that? Because he called those people very fine people. He called them very fine people. End quote. That's all they believe. I'm here to say that's a lie. The whole speech, what he was talking about, it's like, you had people there, and I'm not talking about the white nationalists, right? They should be condemned totally. And then he was mentioning that the people who were supporting the statue being removed versus the people who believed that the statue should stay, those were the fine people, because they made good arguments each time, and the media treated them unfairly. He never said that the white supremacists were fine people. You know why? You know why people still believe that? Because the media. They filleted that whole speech to shit. They said, hey, let's just take the part where he said they were fine people. Not give you the whole video. Just that one part to make you believe that he was evil. Silly. The whole thing was silly. And people still try to suggest that he, Donald Trump supported white supremacy. I think even Biden did that. Jesus God, Biden. And he also, Biden also used misinformation against a guy, a kid named Kyle Rittenhouse, who, if you didn't know, was not too long ago not guilty of all of his charges. So we'll get into that a little bit. A little bit. So we all know Kyle Rittenhouse, innocent from day one, also. He went to a protest, basically, to support a business because they were afraid of being targeted. We'll get into protests later on because that's going to be part three. So he was there to protect a business. Someone was about to blow up a gas station by using a garbage can lit on fire, like one of those big ones with the reels. He put it out. People got angry. A convicted sex offender tried to chase Kyle Rittenhouse, and Kyle Rittenhouse shot him because he went to grab for his rifle. A crazy man is going to grab your rifle. What do you think he's going to do with it? Just tell you to head on out, little kid? You're going to be fine? No, if someone's intending to grab your rifle, there's only one reason why. He was going to shoot the guy. And even if he didn't know, you're not going to find out. So, I find it funny that a convicted sex offender died doing what he loved, chasing an underaged kid. Right? Kind of ironic. So then he later gets attacked again. He shoots another person, killing them, because they attacked him first. A third guy, he wounded, because he ran towards him pointing a gun at him. Of course you're going to get shot if you point a gun at somebody aggressively. And that's what the guy admitted in court. So, Biden spread misinformation about Kyle Rittenhouse. About him being a white supremacist, I believe, or being guilty of his actions. And he had to apologize later on. Yeah, that's our current president, everybody. Basically a guy who said that a kid was guilty, didn't know anything, and then had to apologize later. It's ridiculous. So continuing on, they also said that Donald Trump was accused of saying that military personnel were suckers and losers. Losers and suckers, I believe, right? And this one everyone believed, right? So here's what happened. My question is, where's the evidence of this? Is there any audio evidence of this? Is there video at all? Here's the evidence. Are you ready for this? A couple of, quote, witnesses, end quote, and also, quote, anonymous sources, end quote. Process that for a little bit. Anonymous sources? Witnesses with no names? Are you kidding? Why are you keeping this hidden? Because if you had revealed the names of these sources and witnesses and they were investigated, there'd be nothing. And that's the whole point. The whole point is to mudsling. Make a claim without evidence and people will believe it. Because, let's be honest, social media is very dumb. A lot of dumb people will believe anything you say, so long as it comes from a, quote, credible source, like CNN or any other kind of media outlet, right? Now, before this, now let's talk about more misinformation. Now, this is what got me here. So back in 2016, we all know Donald Trump won the election. People were instantly claiming that Vladimir Putin and all of Russia interfered with the election. The election was not legit because Russians interfered with it. So they had to investigate it, and there was no collusion. No collusion. There was no evidence whatsoever that the Russians had anything to do with the election. Now, fast forward, 2020, Biden wins the election. Donald Trump claimed that the election was rigged. A lot of people claimed that the election was rigged. And here's the funny part. YouTube will take down any video of somebody claiming that the 2020 election was rigged. I'm not saying myself personally it was rigged. I'm not saying that at all. So if Twitch tries to take me down for that, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that everyone else and a few channels on YouTube thought so. And you know what YouTube did? Took down the channel videos and even offered strikes to people for misinformation. The very popular YouTuber I mentioned earlier named Razorfist, he got a strike for that. And the video was private. And they claimed that they reviewed his video and confirmed him of spreading misinformation. Even though he didn't. He was just talking about the election and the fact that he supported Trump. Now, one more thing about him is that here's the funny thing, though. Where was this misinformation enforcement when Donald Trump was accused of having the Russians involved with the whole entire case? Where were they? Why are we trying to say that the 2020 election was not rigged? I don't believe it's rigged. But why is it that when people say it was, they're instantly attacked? But before that, people can say that the Trump election from 2016 was interfered with the Russians. Nothing happens to them. Is that technically misinformation as well? Yes, it is. But it depends on who you're targeting. If people unanimously hate somebody, misinformation doesn't apply. If it's anybody but Trump, everyone's going to attack you for what you say to the current president and their election results, right? And everyone tells me, well, he got impeached twice. Yeah, but he was also cleared twice. I mean, you can't really have a victory lap over two impeachments when both of those failed. Just going to say that right off of the bat. But here's the worst part, I think. Now, January 6th was the day of the Capitol riots. We all know what happened there. Trump told his supporters that he believed the election was rigged. Okay, whatever. Told them to patriotically and peacefully let your voices be heard. As in, peacefully means don't do violent, don't perform violent acts. Don't break into the Capitol. Don't act like an ass. But they did anyway. And he also made a public speech saying, hey, everybody, go home. You know, you made your voices heard, but don't do this. Don't do this. And they still broke into the Capitol. Now, here's the crazy thing. They accused Donald Trump of inciting violence. Which, by the way, there hasn't been a single provided verbal example of said incitement. They just said he caused everyone to get angry. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Oh, to fight for your right to do something? Did he tell them to physically fight? No. That would be like me going up to Kiss and listening to the song, "You Gotta Fight for Your Right to Party." Am I gonna say that Kiss was responsible for me being violent because I wanted to go into a dance club? Hey, why'd you punch these people for? Because Kiss told me to fight for my right to party. So I assumed that I had to punch people. So I blame them for inciting violence. It doesn't work like that. But people believed it anyway. And this caused his Twitter account to be deleted. Now, I question this. This is very dangerous to ask this, but I'll ask it anyway. So Twitter suspended his account indefinitely for inciting violence. My question is, how can you take someone's account down for something they never did? Yeah. They tried to suggest he did, but he was not guilty of it. They dropped the charges. So essentially, Twitter banned him for nothing. Meanwhile, Russia, the people who are attacking Ukraine right now, bombing intended civilian targets, killing civilians, they still have a Twitter account. They're like, what's worse? A man who's loudmouthed, said that the election was rigged, and is blamed for a Capitol riot that he had no involvement with whatsoever. He's worse than the country committing war crimes and killing people every day and causing despair to Ukraine. They get to keep their Twitter account, but not the other guy? Insane, right? Insane. Again, I didn't vote for Trump. I don't entirely support him. I just found it crazy how much mudslinging is going towards his direction. Now, imagine if he was running for president again in 2024. Oh my God. I think that personally, this is my personal theory. I think the reason why he is mudslinged so much to the point where if anybody supports him or talks about him in a way that doesn't entirely go against Trump, anybody that has any kind of like distance between themselves and the former president, they're going to get mudslinged too. The whole point of this misinformation is to make sure he doesn't run again and that nobody votes for him because they know he's going to probably try to run for president again. And they are afraid he's going to win. Considering the fact that Biden, in his term so far, is a terrible president right now. Come on. Hey, let's evacuate Afghanistan. Oh, are we going to like bring our stuff around here? Are we going to like do it carefully? Are we going to take our stuff out of there? Are we going to make sure everything was done properly? No, just leave. Leave everything behind. Billions of dollars worth of equipment just gone. And you let the Taliban take over again. Now they have our weapons. Good job. Good job. I'm surprised the guy even knows he's president. Yeah, he probably just woke up like 5 minutes ago, Biden. He's like, am I president? Oh, shit. I didn't know. And this whole virus thing, too. They blame Trump, too, over that. It's a virus. What are you going to do? Quarantine. Wear your mask. Stay socially distant. 6 feet or more. If people defy it, you can't blame the president for that. I mean, there was no vaccine yet. There was nothing we could do until a vaccine was started. The only thing we could do was quarantine ourselves. But they're all making this whole, all this BS about, oh, he just stopped this and that and did that. Again, mudslinging. Claims without any evidence. Like I said, the only reason why all this mudslinging happened is so that he doesn't run for president again. That's it. That's it. And people say he's the worst president in the entire history of our world. No. Trump is not the worst president. You know who was, according to historians? Buchanan. Buchanan himself. Because he essentially caused the Civil War to start. And left all of those problems on Lincoln's lap. Which, thank gosh for Lincoln, right? But anyway, let's go to the next final topic that I want to discuss. And this is a hard one to talk about as well. It's about those riots that you saw years ago. And they might still happen again. It's involving the riots after a certain situation occurs, such as the death of George Floyd or the death of Trayvon Martin, right? Now, what's crazy is about, it's like all of these events that happen, nobody really knows the whole truth about it, right? And it's crazy. Like, so Trayvon Martin, who we all know, he was the kid carrying the iced tea and Skittles that everyone passionately says he was a little boy. And that he was mercilessly killed by George Zimmerman. The actual truth that we know of is that the only thing we had was an audio recording of someone screaming. And they thought it was Trayvon Martin screaming. No, that was Zimmerman. This kid, he wasn't a little kid. He was a 17-year-old football player, 6 foot tall, I think, right? Attacking Zimmerman because Zimmerman was trying to investigate suspicious individuals. It didn't matter if the kid was black or white. Zimmerman was neighborhood watch, and there were reports of break-ins, and they saw this kid walking through these houses, acting suspicious, so he went to investigate. Now, if he were in that situation, and the whole thing had to be different, hey, what are you doing, man? Oh, we're just investigating. All right, well, I'm not doing anything. Investigate me. Okay. Okay, I was wrong. Oh, shoot. I'm going to lose my job for sure. George Zimmerman gets disgraced. But no, the kid decided to fight against Zimmerman. Not only that, but threatened his life. And then Zimmerman shot him. And this caused riots throughout Ferguson, right? So, George Floyd, same thing. He got, well, not the same thing. He got strangled, right? He had fentanyl in the system, by the way, which I don't know how people can go over and say that wasn't contributing to his breathing issues because he was having them beforehand. But apparently they found out the cop had his knee on his neck and it caused his airways to basically be shut off to the point where he died from asphyxiation. And they're still going through that whole thing. So regardless of how that outcome occurred, right, the riots afterwards were a mess. Absolute mess. It's a disgrace that people can get so angry that they should just go through the streets and destroy everything in their path. Like, can you imagine, especially being a business owner and then be like, hey, these people are protesting the death of this person. Well, I agree with them. Yeah, protest. And then they see a couple protesters come towards the door saying, by the way, we're protesting the wrongful death of this person. Okay, I support what you're doing. That's great. Yeah. So, we're going to like smash your windows and, steal everything in here and basically ruin your business. And, it's for a message to say that we're not going to stand up for racial injustice anymore. So we're just going to steal your shit and ruin everything for you. The business guy's like, what? Don't. No. Why would you do that? And they're like, wait, do you disapprove of our message? Do you? But it doesn't matter. They'll go in. They'll destroy. Now, some people will say, well, if they're raiding a Walmart and all that, they can recover. It doesn't help at all. Even if they can recover, you have to understand that you're committing crimes. The people who work there can't work for a while. They're going to lose out on money that they need to support their families or themselves. And when you take away from a store like that, and it's going to be closed for many days or probably never reopened, some people rely on those places in order to get supplies. Things like diapers, if they're like single parents or like parents in general, right? They need that stuff. And you're telling me that it's okay to commit these crimes and act like complete animals because you're angry, not knowing that you're screwing people over. I don't understand that. In fact, there was one specific donation, right, that I gave. There was a man who lost his entire business. And I can't remember his name. I'll definitely have to tweet it to you later on. But I eventually found out this person's business and the name of this individual. So I said, you know what? I'm going to help out. I'm going to donate $20. I think it was around $20. And I was part of getting his business back together. And that's what the message should be. My opinion is this. In the wake of tragedy, people should not destroy one another. We should be there in peace to help one another. In the wake of tragedy, instead of going through the streets and burning down buildings and looting, we should be going into the streets during the day to say, hey, look, let's raise money. Let's take this trash heap of a landmark here. Let's clean it up, make it into a park for kids, and dedicate it to the person that we lost. Right? How about a football player raising awareness by saying, hey, every touchdown I get, I will donate $100-something to this cause. Or every touchdown that's being made in every single game is going to be donated to a good cause in the wake of tragedy. Why can't we come together and just do that? Right? Wouldn't that make more sense? I can't believe that people think that in order to spread a message that we're not going to take it anymore, we need to destroy everything that you love. We need to act like complete animals and tell people we're not going to take it. So we're going to act like, yeah, I can't, I lose focus and concentration just by how much I have to process.
it's just never ending. I don't understand it. It never solves anything.
Riots, right?
Riots never solve anything.
We should not destroy each other out of anger.
At all. No point of that. At all. It's insane. I don't understand. So, I had a friend, I'm not going to mention their name, you know, good friend and all, but after this incident, it's crazy how many friends I lost. Because under the veil of how nice they seemed to be, there was a specific nastiness about them. So I had an argument telling them exactly what I just told you. I said, hey, these riots are insane. We shouldn't be doing this. And they replied, well, these riots are for a good cause. You see, these people can replenish, these stores can replenish things when we loot them. And we can rebuild, and lives can't be replaced. And I said, that's no excuse to act like the way we are. In fact, I remember a former retired police captain, right, was trying to stop the looting. David Dorn. You know what happened to him? He got killed. He told these people, stop what you're doing. This isn't the right way to do things. He got shot and killed. A black man, by the way. David Dorn, was killed by other black looters. You see, I don't understand. And this goes into the whole other organization, which, again, this is going to raise my eyebrows. Everyone talks about Black Lives Matter. It did not in this specific case. David Dorn was murdered because he tried to do what's right by stopping the looters, and they shot him. Yeah, sure. So, yeah, going back to that argument, like I said, I kept telling the guy, look, this is not the way we do things. We need to be more peaceful about it. Completely got angry with me, saying that I don't support the cause and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, no, stop. I especially hate people who have in their profile of ACAB, which stands for All Cops Are Bastards. No. I don't understand why people want to defund the police either, or abolish them. You really think that's going to help? No. We need the police. Because without the police, what's going to happen? Everyone is going to have all these crimes happening, and they're going to wonder, where are the police at? People are asking that right now in some counties, because you defunded them, therefore they don't want to work. Like, what's the point of doing a risky job and you're defunded? What's the point? And speaking of, now this is going to raise more eyebrows, like I said before. So I mentioned Black Lives Matter. Now, if somebody tells me, do Black Lives Matter? I'm going to say yes. We all do, though. Everyone should be equal. There should be no point where just because of a certain recent events that one group of people should be treated better than the other because of their skin color. At no point. We're repeating history, only kind of in the reverse. No point should a black community be treated more than everyone else. The only kind of times where I would say we should appreciate black culture is during Black History Month, because we learn about very important individuals who fought for their freedoms over the years, from the Civil War before that to the 1960s to nowadays, right? Without certain individuals of the past within Black History Month, you know, without those individuals, we wouldn't have this kind of equality today. Now, some fought for that equality better than others. Martin Luther King was definitely the best because he wanted nonviolence. What would he say if he were alive today and he saw all these riots? He would tell them to stop. This isn't what I taught you. But what do I know, right? So, now, if somebody asks me, do Black Lives Matter, I'll say yes, and I explain my reasoning. If somebody just says Black Lives Matter, I'll say, okay, so does everyone else. As I mentioned before, everyone should be equal. Now, I'm not going to say all lives matter, because everyone politicized that saying as saying that you're a white supremacist for some reason. I'm going to say every life is precious. Every single life is equal, right? Now, of course, there are going to be criminals out there, and they should be tried. But other than that, when it comes down to just normal individuals like me and you, you and me, everybody, we're in this together. That's what I believe. Now, if somebody goes up to me and says,
do you support the Black Lives Matter movement, or do you believe in them? My answer is no. Absolutely not. The BLM movement, for those who don't know, it's actually a radical Marxist movement. Yes, that is true. There is evidence of it. Because they had a website, and they even had one of the co-founders, Patrice Cullors, describing the group that they are trained Marxists. Not only that, but they had a website. They took it down a while ago, but if you have the Wayback Machine, you will find out that their former website had a part of it saying they are going to, what was it called? Let's see what it says. Quote, "We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children, to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable." That's what it formerly read. Yeah. Communism? Marxism? Are you kidding me? Yeah. I'm not going to support communists. I'm sorry. I don't care. I don't know how people... And here's the funny part. Nobody knows this. A bunch of people do not know that the BLM movement are radical Marxists. Following in the theories, or the mindset of Karl Marx, who was also a racist. So wait, you're going to tell me that we should take down statues of people because they own slaves, but we're going to totally support a man who was also racist? Okay, what? Now, again, these conversations, like I said, these are going to be eyebrow raisers. But what I say is absolutely true. This is no misinformation. You can look it up yourself. Like I said, they had that website. They had one of the co-founders admitting that's what they were. And that's why I don't like them. It's also because anytime there's actually a BLM riot or a protest, it becomes a riot. They haven't helped us to any degree whatsoever. I don't care. All these riots happened in the name of this group. That's why I don't support the group itself. If I support the saying or the question, but not the group itself. And people are going to say, oh, you're a racist to this or that because you don't support the BLM movement. No, I'm not a racist. I'm just telling you I don't support communists at all. And they haven't done much for society in general. That's just me. That's my opinion about it. And you could debate it with me. But ultimately, that's how I'm going to feel. You could deliver a good argument that might change my mind. But it all depends. But yeah, these are going to be the topics for the day. I know these are going to be very controversial. Again, like I said, if you want to discuss this, try to be civil. You can contact me on Discord, Twitter, and I have a bunch of links on my channel. I have a bunch of links within this episode as well. So again, if you want to talk about it, let me know. And I will be as civil as possible. Just don't be uncivil, because then I won't listen to you. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed this very controversial episode. I hope people don't get upset and don't try to call me out. Like I said, I'm a very nice individual. Just don't push me, because, you know, I'm not perfect. Just don't push me. That's all. Just be nice, be polite, and I will do the same. And anyway, this is the Derg Boy Podcast. I hope you have a very good day, and I will see you guys next time, and I hope you have a good day. Take care, everybody.